Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week here. We're just watching all the crazy stuff that's going on there over at the United Nations here. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. But first of all, I've got to get some business out of the way. For those of you who've been listening to this show for a while now, starting October 5th, the weekday What Really Happened radio show is going to expand to 2 hours. It'll start at the same time, 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Genesis Communication Network. It will go for 2 hours. So there's going to be twice as much fun, twice as much psychosis, twice as much phone calls, twice as much news, and we're going to have a really fun time. It's been feeling very cramped trying to get everything out in the one-hour show. And it's so strange because 3 years ago when I started here, I used to dread each show saying, oh, my goodness, what am I going to talk about for an entire hour? And then just lately, there's so much going on, and we just keep talking, and I get to the end of the show, and people are starting to call, and I'm saying, God, I need more time. And fortunately, Genesis finally said, yes, we'll give you another hour. You know, quit nagging us. We're going to give you another hour. So October 5th, we're going to go to our two-hour format. There'll be further details about which channels. We're going to be switching to a new toll-free phone number for you to call in on. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff with that. Now, before I get into the show, I want to respond to one of the stories that we just heard on the news break where they're talking about this ongoing ammunition shortage. People have been talking about that for a couple of months now, where people are going to gun stores. I mean, they're almost unloading the ammunition right off the truck. People are buying it up so much. And we keep hearing the story about, well, they're stockpiling it in case, you know, the Obama administration is going to impose a gun ban or something like this. I don't think that's what's going on. I mean, to judge by what I'm seeing even today in the chat room, what I'm hearing in the emails, what I'm hearing on other radio shows, especially out there on shortwave, I think a large segment of this population understands we're coming up on a crisis. And they're not going to make the same mistake the German people did when Hitler took all their guns away. And I think that's the reason for the stockpiling of ammunition. They understand there could very well be a major fight here in the streets of America. I hope to avoid it. I hope to convince the U.S. federal government that it is already terminally ill and we just need to find a comfortable place for it to lie down and die and go away and join the USSR wherever in the afterlife defunct, broke, corrupt governments go to spend the rest of eternity. That's what I hope for. I really would like to avoid violence. It's bad for tourism. It's rough on the landscaping. We just painted the outside of this building. I don't want bullet holes in it. But obviously, we are on a path to some kind of a crisis and confrontation. The government is certainly arming themselves against the people. They're spending your tax money to get these Hummer-mounted pain rays and LRADs and all of this modern version of flogging the slaves back into the slave pits that they're aiming at all the protesters right now. So it may very well be that there's going to be a violent confrontation. I don't like it. I'm certainly not going to get in the way of it. I'll stand off to one side with a camera and take lots of pictures as you all head on by there. But it does look like this is what people are thinking. They want to be prepared for the worst-case possibility of a government which has been lying to us demonstrably for decades on end, that rather than go quietly into that great good night, that the government is going to just start pointing their guns at us and say, look, you got to give us whatever's left of your money because we're bankrupt. And we, the American people, are going to say, no, we've given you enough. You couldn't manage that. Giving you more money isn't going to solve the problem. It's time to say no. It's time to stop throwing good money after bad. We could spend the rest of our lives in utter poverty, working 60 hours a week to try and bail this government out. And at the end of it, we would still have a government that's reading our email and listening to our phone calls and looting our computers and watching us with TV cameras from every single corner. Who needs to work a lifetime for that? I certainly don't. I don't think anybody out there wants to. Now, getting into the economic recovery or lack thereof, the indicators are that the economy is not recovering. We're not seeing a recovery on the Baltic Dry Index. We're coming up on a new round of mortgage defaults because of the option adjustable rate mortgages are getting ready to reset. We have this nightmare scenario where because nobody knows where the original mortgage is located because of all this bundling and packaging and securitizing and this, you know, this mishmash of mortgage-backed securities that they've been going through for the last year. Nobody knows where any of this stuff is. They can't change the terms of the contract. We just had a court ruling yesterday that these organizations that are monitoring and tracking the mortgages on behalf of the investors don't have standing to execute a foreclosure. That's a good thing for the homeowners. It basically means that if we can't find who's got the mortgage on your house, we're not going to let them foreclose on you just because they've got a record that somehow this mortgage went through their hands 6 months ago. It doesn't work that way. I hope all the courts and all the states are going to go along with that. We're also seeing, of course, the commercial real estate market is ready to collapse because people are not flocking to the stores to buy stuff. The back-to-school sales were an absolute disaster. It is an indicator of the Christmas sale season, which is already upon us. They've already got the Christmas stuff in the stores. It's nauseating. I got to tell you, just nauseating. We're not even to Halloween yet, and they're pushing Christmas at us. And nobody is buying that stuff either. And so all of these shopping malls, these big department stores, they're not able to make their mortgage payments. They're starting to go into foreclosure. We're starting to see more and more retail properties shut down, close their doors, and go. And meanwhile, we've got the government, the best government that money can buy, out there talking about green shoots and glimmers of hope and the storm clouds are parting and light at the end of the tunnel and blah, 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 blah. Folks, they are lying to you. They are playing you. They're trying to reassure you that everything is going to be rosy. So please go out there with the last vestige of your credit cards and buy, 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 buy. Because if you don't buy a new flat panel TV set on credit, the terrorists will win. And basically what it is, they're playing you to get that last little bit of money out of your pocket and into their pocket. That's what's going on here. They're just squeezing the country for the last few kopecks that are out here among the masses. Now, they're not really fooling anybody. They're basically relying on the corporate media's ability to just constantly pound on you. Things are getting better. Honest, things are getting better. We've got one of the talking heads from CNBC admitting on air that their job is to be a cheerleader for the economy. Not to report it accurately, but to talk it up. To talk up certain stocks that, I guess, management owns portions thereof. But he said right on the air, we're here to cheer things along. And that's not reportage. That's advertising. That's a sales pitch. Now, meanwhile, there's a little bit of a kerfuffle going over at the G20 because somebody leaked a memo from the White House to the G20 that was responding to some criticisms coming from foreign countries who are saying you're out of your mind if you think the economy is on a recovery or the recession is over. Basically, diplomatic speak for what has Bernanke been smoking, that he's out there trying to say that the recession looks to be just about over. It isn't. It's just all this incredibly bad news. Now comes the real kicker. And this is probably the reason that everybody is trying to badmouth Iran and Ahmadinejad right now. Iran is switching from dollars to euros. Ahmadinejad announced it just today, basically in all of their foreign holdings account, they're dumping the dollars and trading them in for euros because the dollar's going down and the euro's going up. It's the smart thing to do. Of course, our government and Wall Street are going to see it as an act of war. Oh, that dastardly Ahmadinejad, and he denied the Holocaust, and he wants Israel destroyed, and now he's destroying the dollar, and we've got to go bomb him, blah, 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 blah. Same thing. And we're seeing Obama up at the United Nations, and I got to tell you, I tried to watch it, and I really didn't get very far. We got to the point where he's talking about limiting the spread of nuclear weapons in the Mideast, and I'm waiting for him to say, of course, you know, Israel? Israel has nuclear weapons. Can we talk about Israel? Israel's got, and they're not signers of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they're not allowing inspections, even though the UN asked, nice and polite, to allow inspections. No mention of Israel. Barack, of course, starts dropping veiled hints about Iran, which has no nuclear weapons or nuclear weapon program. There is no evidence at all that Barack Obama, or as I like to call him, President Pussy, because he just backed down on the settlement freeze issue. President Pussy is out there doing what he's being told to do by Israel, which is try and convince us all that there's a reason to send your sons and your daughters and spend what little is left of our national treasury going to kill the people that Israel doesn't like. We already got suckered into it in Iraq. we already got suckered into it in Iraq, and they're trying to play the same game all over, and they're scratching their heads saying, well, those Americans were dumb enough to fall for it the last time. How come they're not dumb enough to fall for it this time? Oh, that's right. It's those blogs, those threats to democracy that are wising people up to the fact that they're being lied to yet again. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231. We will be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to finish up on this situation. We've got President Pussy up there at the United Nations, basically just giving Israel whatever they want and protecting them and saying, we reject the Goldstone Report and, you know, Israel is the light and the rest of the world is darkness and we bow down and daven to Israel six times a day and all the rest of that stuff here. And he's out there talking about Iran and saying, you know, Iran is leading us down the path of nuclear escalation. I'm sorry, but Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. They don't have a nuclear weapon program. All United States intelligence agencies have unanimously agreed in a national intelligence estimate Iran is not building nuclear weapons. They just reaffirmed that a month ago. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the United Nations Inspection Enforcement Arm for the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, is saying Iran is not doing anything. Meanwhile, the United Nations asks Israel, can we take a look at what's going on underneath that Dimona reactor? And Israel says, no, you're being unfair again. You're picking on us. You've just got to leave us alone. We're doing the best that we can. And it's absurd. If it wasn't so serious, if we weren't dealing with all these people who are being killed, and the reality of weapons of mass destruction in the hands of a known rogue aggressor state, this stuff would be funny to see just the spin and propaganda and chutzpah that they're trying to do to just keep pushing. But I want to take you through the little Wayback Machine, because when President Pussy is up there talking about what bad people Iran is being with their nuclear weapons of mass destruction, I had this flashback to Colin Powell at the United Nations, where he's out there trying to claim that Iraq, the reason that nobody could find Iraq's weapons of mass destruction was they had mobile biological weapons laboratories. And they showed pictures of these trailers with all this complex piping on the back, which turned out to be British-manufactured hydrogen generators for weather balloons. That's what they were. They were made in Great Britain. Iraq bought them because hydrogen is so difficult to store for long periods of time. Weather balloons are inflated by chemical reaction. And that's what these trailers do. They inflate the balloons. That's all they are. But Colin Powell was in there trying to say, oh, these are mobile biological weapons labs, and it's proof that Iraq is doing things for which we ought to go ahead and kill them. Now, Powell was also out there. Remember him holding that little vial of talcum powder and saying, this is anthrax, and this, if Iraq has this, and just going on and on. He had photos showing decontamination vehicles following the invasion. The UN went in investigating and found out it was just fire trucks. They weren't mobile decontamination vehicles in the sense of containing fire trucks with hoses for putting out fires. That's what they were. Powell claimed the Iraqis had illegal rockets. Those were never found. Powell claimed the Iraqis had 8,500 liters, 2,200 gallons of anthrax. That was never found. Powell claimed Iraq had 4 tons of VX nerve gas. That was never found. Powell claimed that Iraq was building long-range remote drones specifically built to deliver biological weapons. Those didn't exist. Powell claimed that unnamed sources confirmed that Saddam had authorized the field commanders to use biological weapons. That never happened. No such weapons were ever used. No such weapons were ever found. Lie after lie after lie after lie by Colin Powell at the United Nations, and Barack Obama is doing exactly the same thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. They're really, the U.S. government thinks that you are all so stupid, you're going to fall for the same set of lies twice in a row. Or you're going to know they're lying, but you're going to be so polite and patriotic that you're going to say, well, yeah, they're lying, and they're blowing smoke up my derriere here, but, you know, I'm a loyal American, and so I'm going to go along with the lies, and I'm going to pretend the lies are true, because that's what being a loyal American is all about. I'm sorry, that's really a mistake, because being a loyal American is being loyal to the country and being loyal to your fellow citizen and being loyal to all those other Americans whose sons and daughters will die in a prolonged ground war in Iran. And it's going to be a ground war, just like Iraq has gone on for years, Afghanistan has gone on for years, we're mired in those, now they want to go into Iran, they're going into Somalia, they're going into Pakistan, there is no end to it. This is a replay of Nazi Germany going into country after country after country after country with a big difference. We're not achieving victory in any of these countries. We are at a stalemate in most of them, and we don't have the industrial capacity to sustain a major war in Iran, because it's going to involve Russia. It's going to involve Russia on the other side. And that is the danger. So no, being loyal to a government gone wrong is not being a loyal American. Being a loyal American is being loyal to 300 million fellow Americans and what is best for them. And what is best for them is a government that is held to the truth and held to the facts. Pledging allegiance to a lie does not make you a loyal, patriotic American. It makes you a fool and possibly even a traitor. So we're going to go to the phones. We've got Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Hey, Michael. I'm so thankful that you are out there, brother, and I'm glad to hear that you're going to a two-hour show.
You know, me too.
You know, brother, it's because of you guys that, once again, keep going. But you know what? I talked to a guy down in Austin the other day, Wayne. And he told me our new deficit is at $28 trillion. And you're right, Michael. It's nothing but deceiving from our Bilderberg elite. I didn't know if you know that everyone that's under Obama, like Hillary Clinton and Bernanke, are part of the Bilderberg elite group.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Every one of them. And they clearly, it's like a fighter in the 12th round. They want to just... The fighter's on his knees, and they want to go out for the last knockout blow. And people in America, Canada, around the world, we have to wake up and understand that we are being delusioned, deceived
mm-hmm.
by Satan, and we got the, I call him the false prophet, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He's a puppet doing what these big leaders are telling him to do. But you know what? I have to totally agree with you, my friend. That these people across America are not buying all this ammunition up to have a nice cocktail party.
No, I don't think they are.
I hope and pray that it does go all peacefully, but Michael, I think, to say it's sad, that I think this is going to come to guns shooting in the streets of America.
Well, I have to tell you, I hope that you are wrong. Unfortunately, I think, yes, it's going to come to that. It's just a question of degree. It may be over as quickly as when the USSR collapsed. There was a little violence and fighting in Moscow. It didn't spread out to the rest of the country. Or it could be like Romania, where it was very intense but very, very short, and it only took 2 weeks to go from, hey, everything's okay in Romania, to Ceausescu being machine gunned to death on Romanian national television.
Yeah, it's just amazing, like you were saying. It's just like a record player going around and around. These guys must be so, think they're so much imperable to be touched, because they keep saying, like you were saying earlier, oh, our economy start to pick up. You're $28 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
How could you even sit there and say the things that they're doing? Because, like you said, it's a bunch of fascism, lying and deceiving. Come on, Americans, wake up.
Okay, Scott, we got to let you go here. We're out of time on this segment. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Thank you for the call, Scott. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how hard. 5:15 an hour ago. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, getting back to the situation at the United Nations, I mean, Ahmadinejad is getting ready to do his little speechification up there. Israel is going to walk out. Canada is going to walk out. They're trying to convince everybody else to walk out and just shun Ahmadinejad. And just here in the United States over the last couple of days, we were like Sean Hannity was yesterday, and he was out there screaming, Iran has nuclear weapons. Don't listen to this man. He's said crazy things, and his mother dresses him funny, and his dog is ugly, and he smells, and they're just screaming and ranting and raving, okay? And, you know, I think it's going to backfire, because I think there is so much vitriol being visited on the head of Ahmadinejad. It's probably piqued a lot of people's curiosity. What is it about this guy that has provoked such obvious fear in the corporate media and our government? Why are they in a panic? So, setting aside all the crap about wipe Israel off the map and denying the Holocaust, and by the way, Ahmadinejad never said wipe Israel off the map. He said Israel will eventually vanish from the pages of history, which is true for every country. No country lasts forever. Happened to the USSR, getting ready to happen here to the United States, will probably happen to Israel somewhere down the road. So, what are they really afraid that Ahmadinejad is going to do is, first of all, Ahmadinejad, rented lips, is going to remind everybody that the United States funded the attempted coup against him in Iran to the tune of some $420 million. $400 million by George Bush, an additional $20 million emergency injection by President Pussy. And it failed, but they were trying to do it. They were trying to overthrow him from within by funding the opposition. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that the International Atomic Energy Agency has never found any evidence at all of a nuclear weapons program in Iran's power station after 2003. That's when they quit. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that Iran is a signer to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which gives Iran a legal right recognized internationally by the United Nations and in theory by the United States, which also signed that treaty, to build peaceful nuclear power plants. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that Iran allows full inspection of all of their nuclear facilities. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that Israel is not a signer to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that Israel is not allowing inspections of their nuclear facilities despite a recent United Nations request that they do so. Ahmadinejad is probably going to remind everybody that the United Nations has accused Israel of serious war crimes in Gaza. And people are going to listen to Ahmadinejad. Why? Very simple. Here's a pop quiz. The answers are Iran, Israel, and the United States. The question is, which of the three did not lie to the world about Saddam's nuclear bombs? The world knows the U.S. and Israel are liars. They're going to give Ahmadinejad the benefit of the doubt. And by the way, story that came in during the commercial break. The U.S. and Israel are trying to figure some way they can block the Goldstone report on Gaza's war crimes from being sent to the Security Council. That's how desperate they are to stop this, because if it goes to the Security Council, yes, the U.S. can veto there, but then The Hague will step in, the International War Crimes Tribunal, and the United States doesn't have a veto there. We're looking at jail time for some of these war criminals. And good! That's the whole point of an International War Crimes Tribunal, is that no government is above the law, not even Israel. Okay, the phone lines are loading up. Let's grab a couple of phone calls. Scott in Great Britain. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello. Very good to hear from you. The thing I'm seeing with Iran is the sheer military presence around that entire area with Iraq and Afghanistan and Israel, all now under a certain control. And it just seems that it's just getting too much for that area. And it's quite worrying to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the people in Iran as well. They're not happy with what's happening. But they never seem to be able to get, none of us seem to ever get freedom in any way. It's always the higher powers get to move the chess pieces.
Until there's a revolution. I mean, you know, look at what happened after the French Revolution. Actually, there were several in a row where, you know, each revolution, their leaders became corrupt and the next revolution took them out until finally they got the message, we've got to have a new way of running the country. And at least for the first, you know, couple of decades after the French Revolution, they had a government that was seriously interested in making life better for all Frenchmen, lest there be another revolution. Same thing with the United States of America. We got rid of the Bank of England. We got rid of George III. We set up a system that was designed to take care of the people of the country. We allowed it to be subverted.
Seems to come back to these corrupt, the corrupt, power-hungry people.
Yes.
I mean, as you say, maybe France had a bit of freedom after their revolution, but it, from all the mess, maybe they regained power in some way. Because if you look the way it is now, we've got European unions, and it all seems to be back in their hands. So nothing's really changed.
Well, it's a cycle. It swings back and forth where it's almost like a nation will go through a life cycle where it's born into freedom and then the people become complacent and those who are in positions of power and authority start creating new laws and new systems to bring more wealth and power to themselves. They always want more power. It's like, you know, money is an addiction. It's worse than heroin. And it gets to the point where all of a sudden the society becomes so unbalanced and unable to function, which is where the United States is right now, that there's a crisis and there's a break and the oligarchs are kicked out and they sit down and say, okay, let's learn from our mistakes and start a new society. Thomas Jefferson predicted when he signed the Declaration of crafted the Constitution, he said, I don't expect this government to last very long because it will become corrupt over time. And eventually there will be a new revolution. Thomas Jefferson believed in permanent, perpetual revolution to keep the people free, that they were always going to be kicking out the government and starting over again in order to prevent the kind of abuses. Unfortunately, people become complacent. And during times of plenty, you know, when people are living comfortable lives, they turn a blind eye to what the government is doing.
Lately, isn't it that quite a lot of us are living in complacent lives, but it seems that more
changing.
And more people are waking up to the fact that even though we're living in a reasonable standard of life, there's something nagging at us. I mean, most people do like to just continue on and not worry themselves about it, but it seems more and more people are. And you've just got to feel for the people that are in worse situations than us in like, say, Western civilizations, where we have, you know, like running water. And some places, do you understand what I mean? We've got.
I understand what you mean. Your standard of living tends to be a relative thing, and you say, oh, I'm better than them, but not quite as wonderful as them. I think the issue, though, is that most people we vote with our wallets, but at the same time, certainly here in the United States, we understand we have lost most of our civil rights and freedoms that were paid for in blood by our ancestors going back over 200 years.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing. We're losing a lot of freedom, lots of rights, and all we seem to see is more war in every corner
and more
of the
control
world.
And more confiscation of our wealth. The problem is we've got the vast majority of the world's people just want to be left alone, to live their lives, deal with their neighbors, raise their kids, and, you know, earn a reasonable standard of living and be left alone. Then you get these sociopaths who have dreams of pyramids built to their own glory, and they just want to own it all just so they can stand up there and say, I control it all. I'm ruler of the world. Am I not God incarnate? And really, we ought to be giving psychological tests to everybody running for office and lock up the sociopaths before they're ever allowed on the ballot. And I'm going to propose that as a new rule after we start reforming the United States of America. Thank you very much for the phone call, Scott. We're going to take a break here. We've got Michael in Texas waiting on the line. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back from these commercials.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
When all this twists and feel,
and And Aloha America, welcome back to the show here. Boy, the phone lines are loaded up, but I got a couple of things I got to get to first. As I suspected was going to happen at the start of the invasion of Afghanistan all the way back in 2001 over this oil pipeline right of way. And I said, another side effect we're going to see from this, the Taliban. By the way, the word, in case you're wondering, Taliban just simply means students. When they talk about the Taliban, it sounds like this dread dark organization. The word simply means it's students, because the group that basically succeeded in stabilizing Afghanistan down after the U.S. government dropped it, you know, once the Soviet Union was out of there, and we said, well, we don't have to worry about them anymore, and we just created this power vacuum, and all these warlords were coming in. So a group of college students got together and said, we're forming a new government, and they started running the place. That's where the Taliban came from. Taliban means students. That's all it is, really. Okay. So the U.S. goes in there for an invasion because the Taliban does not want to sell a Unocal and other oil company consortium a pipeline right-of-way at the price the consortium wanted to pay. So cheaper, low-cost option. Let's invade. And at the time, I said, the Taliban had all but eradicated opium production in Afghanistan. It was gone. If you were caught growing opium poppies, you were killed. Very effective anti-drug tactic. And, predictably, the supply of heroin in the United States dried up. We'd lost Kunsa's source with the end of the Vietnam War, and all of a sudden the Afghan opium was drying up. The CIA was trying to keep their budget fulfilled during Iran-Contra, bringing the cocaine up from South America. With the collapse of Iran-Contra, that went away as well. So now we invade Afghanistan, the Taliban is out of power, and they're growing opium poppies left and right. And now we are getting a report today from Boston that a flood of heroin is hitting the United States of America, and it is super pure, and there is so much of it, it is incredibly cheap. And because it's so cheap and plentiful and pure, we're seeing a lot of drug users, both hardcore addicts and just casual experimenters, they're going into accidental overdose and dying. People are dying in the streets from the heroin that is flowing from Afghanistan because the U.S. conquered the government that was trying to stop the production of opium. Earlier today on our website, we posted a photograph of a U.S. soldier guarding opium poppy fields in Afghanistan. That is how sick this whole situation has become. Now, moving right along, I know I got three callers. I'm going to get to you real quick here. But one of the other issues that Barack Obama is pounding at the United Nations is global warming, and we've got to fight global warming because it's globally warming, and we don't want a warm globe because that will be bad, and so we've got to fight the warm globe. And he's just going on and on and on about this, even though the data has gone against the entitled global warming hysteria. Now, of course, they're changing the buzzword. They're calling it, you know, drastic climate change. Well, guys, the climate's always changing. Study your geology. Study your paleontology. The Earth is never staying exactly the same. It's always getting colder or warmer in 100,000-year cycles as the Earth's orbit oscillates between elongated and circular. And, of course, the solar cycle. We're seeing an unusually cool sun right now. And not surprisingly, the Earth is getting colder. Temperatures hit zero. Centigrade, freezing in Hokkaido today. There's snow in Denver. All of the scientists who were out there taking money to research global warming, they're coming back with the reports and saying, guys, it's getting cooler. And it looks like it's going to continue to get cooler for the next 20 years. Now we're finding out from Al Gore that the real agenda, besides making a ton of money off of the carbon trade swindle, which, by the way, Ken Lay helped Al Gore set that all up. Now we've actually got Al Gore on video admitting that part of the agenda for this global temperature crisis or this global climate crisis was to justify the imposition of a global government. Oh, the whole planet is sweltering or freezing or whatever they're going to say now. The whole planet is in danger. We must have a coordinated global authority taking care of us all. No, we don't. We don't even begin to have the technology to change the Earth's temperature or climate. We don't even know if we should. An ideal climate, temperature, humidity, whatever for the Earth is an arbitrary decision. There is no instruction manual that we pull down from the shelf and say, oh, Earth should be kept at this temperature or this humidity. it's arbitrary. What is perfect for the people in Alaska is probably not perfect for the people living on the equator. We are a planet of change and extremes, but they're still trying to sell this carbon trade, carbon credit. They're Enronizing carbon dioxide. They have created a product literally out of thin air, the carbon credit, and they're trying to get the government to force you to buy it. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a carbon credit. It's a piece of paper. And they want to Enronize it, and they want to buy it and sell. It's just like what Wall Street has been doing with mortgages and everything else. It's a new bubble. It is a new manufactured product. It doesn't really exist. It's not like they're buying or selling food or buying and selling oil or gold or commodities or anything like that. There is nothing there. It's a piece of paper. It is a license to pollute. And they want to broker these back and forth. They say, nobody should pollute, but we'll sell you an indulgence. That's exactly what it is. It's like when the Catholic Church, back during the Middle Ages, they became rich by selling indulgences. They came up with a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that, and all these other things. But if you pay us a licensing fee, we'll let you get away with it this one time only. That's what Al Gore and his people are doing. They're selling environmental indulgences, just like the church used to do. And Mother Nature has just gone and done a big at them because the earth is getting cooler. It's just amazing. All right, we got phone calls, and I already talked too long. I hope we can get to all of them. We're going to go to Mike in Texas. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. Speak fast. We're running out of time.
Mike, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to spit this out in the next 30 to 45 seconds. First of all, I want to congratulate you on Flat Out, the best show on GCN.
Thank
you. I've been listening for 8 months. You're even better than Alex Jones. I just love listening to you. I was just inspired to call briefly because you were talking about the protest for the G20, protest for the Tea Parties. We got a protest down here in Austin on October 5th for protesting the military starting to vaccinate its personnel, and that's what we're protesting. So all I've got, you know, my comment is sooner or later, you got all these issues that we're all hearing about, people protesting this or that. Sooner or later, we're all, if we're paying attention, if we got a pulse, if we're patriotic Americans, there's something that's going to get you up off your butt out in the streets to protest, because like Gil Scott Heron said, the revolution will not be televised.
The revolution is online. It's time to get angry. It's time to get angry. And I know I'm going to shortchange some of my callers here, but I got to put a comment out here. Folks, I need all of you. We're starting to see people stand up to the talking heads and the politicians and say, you're a liar. I don't believe you. You're full of it, or words to think. If we can get to their public spaces, if we can get in their faces, and if we all, 300 million Americans, start telling the government and the corporate media, we don't believe you anymore. We think you're full of it. We think you're liars. They're going to get the message. We're going to make them doubt their ability to sell us a new war, and they might call it off. It is our best hope to prevent World War III is to shake their confidence, and nothing will shake their confidence more than millions of Americans getting into the streets and saying, I don't like you, I don't trust you, I'm angry with you, I don't believe you, you're full of lies, go away, make somebody else's life miserable. We're going to have to let you go. Switch to Tom in California. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I wanted to mention the vast topics you're talking about. The Union Concerned Scientists, a group of Nobel laureates that got together and exposed the corruption of the politics from the Bush administration, the corruption of the FDA, the EPA. And if you just Google...
Let's save time. Which ones aren't corrupt?
Yeah, but if they have a whole program of a group of Nobel laureates behind it. They're dealing with global warming, the radiation, the nuclear weapons, all of it. Just Google Union Concerned Scientists. They also have a free action newsletter. I think if more of us were to join and get behind them and behind these action alerts and help them, they're the world's best scientists. I think we should follow them and do what they say.
Well, I think we should follow our own instincts. I have linked to a lot of their reports, but remember, this whole global warming mess began when a lot of the world's best scientists allowed themselves to be bought with funding to go in a certain direction. So we got to be careful. Just because somebody's a scientist doesn't mean he's not a jerk. So we're going to have to let you go here, Tom. And I'm sorry, Lauren, I did not get to you. Please call in tomorrow. I know a lot of people want to hear some more from you. That's it for our show. Boy, I cannot wait till October 5th when we go to 2 hours a day and we don't have to rush so much to get all this stuff through. I still have pages and pages of stuff I wanted to talk about. So until tomorrow, when it is Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Genesis Communication Network, stay safe, stay well, drive carefully, be angry, be skeptical, get loud. It's time to be angry and let everybody know you're angry with what's going on. Aloha, America.